The epistle appointed to be read for this, the sixth Sunday after Pentecost, is taken from the epistle of St. Paul to the Romans. Brethren, all we who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death. For we were buried with him by means of baptism into death, in order that just as Christ has arisen from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we also may walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in the likeness of his death, we shall be so in the likeness of his resurrection also. For we know that our old self has been crucified with him in order that the body of sin may be destroyed, that we may no longer be slaves to sin. For he who is dead is acquitted of sin. But if we have died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live together with Christ. For we know that Christ, having risen from the dead, dies now no more. Death shall no longer have dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives unto God. Thus do we consider ourselves also as dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. In the Holy Gospel is taken from St. Mark. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. At that time, when there was a great crowd with Jesus and they had nothing to eat, he called his disciples together and said to them, I have compassion on the crowd, for behold, they have now been with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. And if I send them away to their homes fasting, they will faint on the way, for some of them have come from a distance. And his disciples answered him, How will anyone be able to satisfy these with bread here in a desert? He asked them, How many loaves have you? And they said, 7. And he bade the crowd recline on the ground. Then taking the 7 loaves, he gave thanks, broke them, and gave them to his disciples to distribute. And they set them before the crowd. And they had a few little fishes, and he blessed them, and ordered them to be distributed. And they ate and were satisfied. And they took up what was left of the fragments, 7 baskets. Now those who had eaten were about 4,000, and he dismissed them. Thus for this Sunday's Holy Gospel. My beloved people, please pardon me for all of this noise I'm making. I refer you to today's bulletin once again, having and containing part 2 on the little consideration that we have on the sacrament of extreme unction. It is very, very important that you not just read this information, but that you practically memorize it and keep it in your memory bank to be used at whenever, which God forbid, of course, we know certain things cannot be avoided, but that you will use this information when it comes time for it to be used, and that we have a proper attitude ourselves, have a proper attitude also toward those that we serve in when it comes time for us to leave this present life. And this concludes this particular section of it. Next week we are going to continue with, perhaps I could use the expression, the proper bedside manner that we should all exercise when we are taking care of those who are either sick, especially grievously sick, more especially those who are at the point of death. There will be catechism classes this morning. Tuesday of this week is the feast of St. Mary Magdalene. We should pray to St. Mary Magdalene in a very special manner. Blessed Mary Magdalene had the blessing of our blessed Lord upon her. And all that she was guilty of in previous days was done away with immediately. Let us ask her to help us in all of the little vicissitudes, the little problems that we have from day to day in our daily lives. In this bulletin today also is a matter of record. Hopefully, tomorrow morning, we will start construction on a wheelchair ramp leading into the church. And we will be inconvenienced for some few weeks, I hope no longer than that. We will be inconvenienced, so let us understand that. I also ask you, if you would, please, because of this, to park away from all of this. You've got plenty of room for the time being, and park as distantly as you can from the scene of action. Pray also that all will go well and that no one will get hurt. We're grateful to Almighty God that He has given us this opportunity to do this, and we hope that it will be of service whenever it is needed. The matter concerning confirmation will be taken up very soon, and with notices in the bulletin. In the name of the Father, and Son, and Holy Ghost, amen. My beloved people, this morning's gospel of the multiplication, the first time, of the multiplication of the loaves and fishes is more than just an incident which took place. It is an incident of very great, perhaps I might say of the greatest importance, because this was a prefigurement which later our blessed Lord manifested His thoughts on the body and blood of Jesus Christ. What we are presented in today's gospel is what we very often stress here, and that is that what we are called upon for most of all is faith. Faith, my beloved people, as I heard read just last night in our refectory, in our dining room, faith is the foundation stone of everything we do. Everything. Either it is good faith or it is bad faith. If it is good, it influences us to good. If it is bad, of course, it influences us to bad. We either believe or we do not believe. And in today's gospel, they had vision, so they didn't have very much to, they were not forced very much into having to believe, because they saw it. They had vision. But later, their faith was put to test. But we ourselves, either we do believe or we do not believe. We do not half believe or half unbelieve. There is no mediocrity in all of this. It has to be complete. If we do not believe completely, we do not believe. Sometimes our faith is weak. Sometimes our faith needs a little nourishment. That's all right. Our prayer should be, "My dear God, I do believe. Help me in my unbelief." None of us have vision. And therefore, we are called upon to exercise faith. And therefore, while we are speaking of faith, then we come to understand the necessity of the things that we have to do in order to save our immortal souls. After all, that is the principal purpose, the only purpose for us, saving our immortal souls. And we're called upon to believe, to understand, to accept, to comprehend. The pattern that has been set before us by our blessed Lord himself. In the use of the seven sacraments, for example, as we are presently studying confirmation, we will not take the other sacraments in the same way, but we will hint at them from time to time. We have to avoid something that too many of us are guilty of. And that is the legalisms and the obligations that we bring ourselves into thinking about when we are at the service of Almighty God. And as a consequence, which I have mentioned on numerous occasions, and I'm aware of this, not because there's lack of anything else to talk about, but because it is so very important to talk about, and that is that we do not use external observances, that we do not use external observances as being the force or the forces that move us on. External observations are certainly important insofar as they lay out the path in front of us. But legalisms, my beloved people, I think this is safe to say. Legalisms are not the result of the activity of faith. As long as I feel that I have to do this in order to obtain that, or I have to do that because I am afraid, or because this, that, or the other, as long as I feel down in my inmost subconscious work that I have to do this, that, or the other, faith is not at work. And because faith is not at work, then I think it would be even more safe to say that love is not at work. How often have we said, as long, for example, let us go and look at the interior operations, the intimate workings of family, of husband and wife, of parents and children, children and parents, mother and father, husband and so on. As long as one feels toward the other an obligation to please, you have only an association. There is no love there. There is no love. As long as I feel that I have got to do this in order to make you feel good, I'm not loving. I'm not loving at all. The reason that we should have behind everything with these intimate relationships between father and mother and so on and so on and so on, all the relationships have to be spurred on by love. Not by admiration. You know, sometimes I admire him or her so much. I admire that person. And therefore, oh goodness, I just have to do this because I admire him so much. He's always so good. He's always so right. He's always so perfect. You know. I don't serve God because I admire God. Of course I do. But I don't serve God because I admire him. I serve him, or try to. I serve him because I love him. Because I believe in him. Because I love him, I want to do that which makes him feel good. I want to serve him because I want my God to feel the warmth of my heart. And if I can do that, my beloved people, that is what I'm supposed to do. And all of these other things, these observations and externalisms and pretty this and pretty that and lovely this and lovely that and all the other things that we do will go into insignificance. And the things that we do, oftentimes, we have to be very cautious. The things that we do when there is association, one with another, this can happen. Let us put ourselves, I don't say this is happening here, thank God. But put yourself in the condition or in a surrounding, say, of a monastic existence, a community existence of monks or nuns. If we went on in externalisms, we would find ourselves very, very quickly in the position of in the position of competition. of trying to outstrip one another in our observance. He says, 5 rosaries a day. Wonderful. I'm proud for him to say 5 rosaries, but I've got to beat that. I'm going to say 10 rosaries a day. He spends 2 hours in front of the Blessed Sacrament. I can spend 4. And it goes on and on and on. And it's not an act of love because I spend 4, 2 more than he does. It is because I want to outshine him. I want to be better than he, and right away, my pride tells me you spend more time in church than he does. You say more prayers than she does. Therefore, the conclusion might well be taken to be, I'm holier than so-and-so. And right away, my beloved people, everything, everything, everything that we have done has become vitiated and has become repugnant to Almighty God. I use the word repugnant because it is repugnant. And in your own lives, in the intimacies of your own lives, when you discover, or if you should discover, that your mate, whoever it is, father, son, mother, daughter, whoever, husband or wife, when and if you discover that the service that number one gives to number two is done out of obligation, you're going to come to the conclusion of lack of trust. Because we say, that person doesn't love me for me. That person is just trying to win my favor. You find that today, my beloved people, the world today, that is the foundation of today's world. To up one in order to get what one wants. All I want from God, oh yes, there's some small things that I want from God, from the Blessed Mother, from the saints. There's some things I want that are for my convenience, or my this, or my that, or the other. But the main thing, the most main thing that I want from God is for him to see that I love him so much that I truly want to be with him for all eternity, that I must admit to him that if I do not turn to him, then to whom shall I go? He is the answer to everything. And to the extent that I can turn to him with this motive, this point of view, to the extent that I can turn to him with this point of view, to that extent will I have peace, which is a sacred gift, isn't it? What was the one thing that our blessed Lord said every time he appeared to his apostles and disciples after his resurrection? Peace be with you. Where is peace today? We say that it is no longer there because of the troubles of nations and so on. Why is there no peace in the world today? Is it because of the activity of nations? There's no peace in the world today because there's no peace in the heart of the individual. And to the extent that the heart of that individual can work with the love that is supposed to be for him to work to have, to that extent will he have peace. To that extent will he trust. To that extent will he believe. So as we proceed on and we take today's gospel is preparing us for the ultimate that we have to believe in here on earth, and that is our blessed Eucharist. Our blessed Eucharist, than which there is nothing larger to believe in. And the people that go around saying today, oh, I can believe it this way, I can believe it that way, I can do it both ways, I can observe the way they observe it in this place, I can observe it the way they observe it in that place, so on and so on and so on. My beloved people, in the classroom, can you teach it both ways? Those of you that are teaching, can you teach it both ways? If you can't teach it both ways, surely you cannot believe it both ways. There's only one way to believe. And unless we observe that, then we are not observing the way that we are supposed to observe in our service with God. So let us not be the ones to work with what we see. It looks all right to me, therefore it is all right. I can believe that because it looks all right. I saw the multiplication of the loaves and fishes, therefore there must be something to it. It has to go beyond that. Has to be totally beyond that. It has to go to the point of where when the priest holds up this which is in his hands, we call it bread. But when a priest, our representative at the altar of God, holds us up in his hands, he is not holding up Christ, who is dwelling in the bread. Have to be very careful about that. He's not holding up Christ, who is dwelling in the bread. Because after he says those words, my beloved people, and here comes the matter. There is no more bread. Is there? And the priest is holding in his hands none other and only Christ himself. It is not Christ dwelling in the bread. A lot of people think that. But you still have bread, and so you're actually eating bread. No, so, not so. Christ is, the bread is no longer. And this is where the rub comes in for those who are weak of faith, that they can take it whatever way is convenient to take it. So, my beloved people, it's definitely time for me to quit. A lot of this that you hear is repetition. I know that. But repetition is the mother of learning. And if we present ourselves as being those who are believers and present ourselves as coming to this particular spot, small, so what? For whatever the reason that we give, then we must have within our hearts the proper reason for being here. Anything short of that is wrong. And we're coming for theater. We're coming for drama. We're not coming for any other reason. It tickles us to hear what we hear and the way we hear it. We like that. But every time the wind changes, every time the breeze shifts, our beliefs are gone. And the latest thing that comes to our attention is the thing that we believe in. So there, my beloved people, we all must work together and pray together that God's kingdom on this earth will not perish. And that as long as he sees you and me and us, that he will still be able to say, "Thy kingdom come." My beloved people.